Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Danielle Kading of WPR News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we just heard from a state legislator hoping to move to Congress representing Northeast Minnesota. One of her Democratic colleagues on the Wisconsin side, who isn't running again, is facing some serious issues following a fatal car accident.
That's right, Robin. The father of a five-year-old girl who died in a car crash involving Democratic Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the lawmaker. And that lawsuit was filed last Friday in Ashland County Circuit Court by Brandon Fink, who is the father of Khaleesi Fink, who died with her mother, Alyssa Ortman, in July. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported this week that that lawsuit named Buley and three other insurance companies as defendants. Ashland County District Attorney David Meany says his office is still reviewing that case, but he had no timeline on when he will make a decision on whether charges will be filed.
Senator Buley is vacating her seat, and it's long been in Democratic hands, but Republicans think they can reverse that.
That's right. Republicans are hoping to flip three open seats this November. Representative Nick Milroy of South Range, Representative Beth Myers of Bayfield, and as you said, Senate Minority Leader Janet Buley of Mason all announced earlier this year that they would not run again. And these three districts have been Democratic strongholds for decades. Even so, these three lawmakers have faced more competitive races in recent years. They came through in 2020. Representative Nick Milroy saw the closest race of his legislative career, winning by just 139 votes in 2020 against Republican challenger Keith Kern. Beth Myers, who represents Northwestern Wisconsin, she won by around 1,000 votes against challenger James Bolin, Republican challenger James Bolin. And what we've seen is within these districts that the counties that are contained within them have, by thousands of voters, voted in favor of candidates like President Donald Trump and former Governor Scott Walker, as opposed to the Democratic candidates, President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers. And the same also rings true in the 25th Senate District, where in 2018 we saw nearly 12,000 more votes for Walker in counties contained within the 25th Senate District over those who voted for Governor Evers. And so these districts are trending more conservative. And a UW Superior Political Science professor, Elisa Von Hagel, says one or more of them may flip in November, as Republicans tend to have greater turnout during midterm elections. And she also cited voter concerns over inflation and economic challenges heading into November, but added that Democrats have been trying to motivate voters to head to the polls over abortion rights and the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Well, one sign of that competitiveness is the 2020 election, which regionally was carried by Donald Trump, but there were 20,000 or so votes for Joe Biden, which even again, if that didn't carry the region for him, it actually was about his margin of victory in Wisconsin.
That's right, Robin.
Well, Rick, Enbridge Energy continues to be in the news, this time facing a multi-million dollar fine due to his Line 3 project.
Yes, it is. Enbridge Energy will pay $11 million to the state of Minnesota and Indigenous Band after a series of aquifer breaches during the construction of its Line 3 oil pipeline across northern Minnesota last year. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and Department of Natural Resources on Monday said the money would be spent on penalties, ongoing monitoring, environmental projects, and financial assurances for three aquifer breaches near Enbridge Clearwater Terminal, LaSalle Creek in Hubbard County, and just west of the Fond du Lac Reservation. The MPCA also found Enbridge violated a series of regulations and requirements including discharging construction stormwater into wetlands and inadvertently releasing drilling mud into surface waters at 12 locations between June 8 and August 5 of 2021. Additionally, the Office of Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison on Monday announced Enbridge admitted to the January 21 breach in Clearwater County. Out of that $11 million, $1.45 million will go to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Another $2.4 will go to the state of Minnesota and $2.6 million to fund environmental projects and affected watersheds along Line 3.
Well, a less controversial construction project is the rehabilitation of the old county jail in Duluth into residences. How's that coming along?
Coming along nicely. The former St. Louis County Jail on West 2nd Street in Duluth will be renamed Leona and will be repurposed as a 33-unit apartment building. Leona is a Finnish word for lion, and developer Megan Elliott said the building draws the inspiration for its name and logo from some of the ornamentation on the structure's granite facade. Built originally in 1924, the 93-cell jail was designed to hold up to 100 inmates. The steel bars of the cells not only kept prisoners confined, but also provided support for the building. And as those cells were removed to open up the floor plan for this project, new structural supports had to be installed. Some of the original steel bars have been strategically retained as decor and a link to the building's history, but Elliott said about 200 tons of steel have been removed from the former jail as it was dismantled and reconfigured. Leona's website markets the apartments with the slogan, "From Jailhouse to Your House." The over $8 million project is being completed with the help of historic tax credits that require the renovation to be finished by the end of this year. To meet that goal, about 40 workers have been on site daily to push the building across the finish line. And Leona has already received more than 100 inquiries from interested renters. And Elliott said she remains optimistic the building will be fully occupied when it opens.
Who would have thought 100 people are interested in moving to the jail, but it won't be a jail. So we've had stories about delays on the Wisconsin side to 911 calls. St. Louis County in Minnesota is addressing a related issue.
Yes, they are. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office has joined a national effort to make it easier for bystanders to provide potentially life-saving assistance for people experiencing cardiac arrest. The county on Tuesday announced a partnership with Pulse Point, which is a nonprofit foundation that offers a free smartphone app that is integrated with local 911 dispatch systems. Now, when an emergency call is going to be placed for possible cardiac arrest, a 911's communication specialist will not only dispatch first responders, but an automatic alert will be sent out to anyone who has downloaded the Pulse Point Respond app and is located within approximately a quarter mile of the reported location. Officials say it will allow anyone who is trained in CPR to provide immediate assistance. And the app also provides information on nearby automated external defibrillators, which can be found in many public buildings, schools, and businesses. The Pulse Point Respond app can be found in iPhone App Store and on Google Play.
All right. We've been speaking with Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Chris Cruzy. Stay safe, everyone.
I had a dream about a burning house. You were stuck inside, I couldn't get you out. I laid beside you and pulled you close. The two of us went up in smoke. Love isn't all that it seems, I did you wrong. I'll stay here with you.